The Wisconsin public will get a chance to weigh in on some natural resource issues facing the state, including a few kind of hot-button ones. It's time once again for the annual spring hearings put on by the Department of Natural Resources and the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. Normally, the meetings happen in person, but the pandemic has made them online only this year and last. More than two dozen referendum questions are on the ballot. They involve hunting, fishing, the environment, wildlife management, and conservation. And while the results are non-binding, they give the DNR and state lawmakers a sense of public opinion as they consider changes to rules or laws. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you planning on participating in this year's hearings? Have you gone to the in-person ones in the past? Do you like this idea that the public weighs in on these conservation issues? And which natural resources are most important to you? Some of the questions, should schools be allowed to teach firearm safety? Does Wisconsin need a hunting season for white deer? How do you feel about plans to replace an oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin with a new one? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Paul Smith is back with us, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Rob. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, before we dig into some of the particular issues that are being asked about here, Paul, can you tell us some about the history of this Wisconsin Conservation Congress and all this public input they seek each spring?
Yes, Wisconsin has a unique and proud tradition of public involvement in natural resources issues like this. And it's the only one in the country that has people in each county who are elected, their local delegates, and they serve the public, and they channel these ideas up to their executive committee. And this body, the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, is actually established in state statute as the advisory body to the DNR and the Natural Resources Board. So it's a conduit for the public to get to these upper levels of our natural resources agency in the state. And it goes all the way back to the 1930s when it was established. Before 1937, the legislature did it all. So elected representatives, you know, politicians would have set things like seasons for fishing and hunting and bag limits. And that changed. Some of the people who were involved in it at the time were famous conservationists like Aldo Leopold and Haskell Noyes. They helped establish this new system, and it's carried on today. And it's done all by volunteers, the local delegates. There's five in each county, and they help this process move forward. I used to call it our annual date with democracy in our conservation community, but this year and last year, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's been stretched to 3 days, and all of the voting is taking place online. For many years, people would gather in a local high school gymnasium or other public building in their county and turn up in person and vote. So this year it's happening all virtually.
Now, these are non-binding referenda. These are advisory. How, historically at least, how seriously does the DNR and state lawmakers, for that matter, take the outcome of the votes on these various issues?
I think they definitely look at them, Rob. But as you said, it's non-binding. In a couple of cases, I'll just point to one. A mourning dove season was established in the state perhaps 15 years ago. And that turned out the largest at the time, the largest turnout for the meetings. It was 30,000 people roughly came and voted. And, you know, that helped. And there was support for the mourning dove hunt. There was a lot of opposition also, but that was just a case where something, people's sentiments were actually followed. It's important to have a venue, I think, where people can come out and say what they think about these issues, and then take it from there. So I know the DNR people and Natural Resources Board members do look at these results every year, and if someone's going to go to the legislature with an idea for a law change, it's certainly helpful to be able to say, you know, on this date, so many people turned out and supported this idea, and it's an expression of the public will on these issues.
Talking to Paul Smith, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I was a call screener here back when that morning dove hunt debate was going on. I think that was my personal record for most calls taken on the air about the morning dove hunt. You could join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about the Conservation Congress meeting here in Wisconsin, virtual now, where people can weigh in on a variety of advisory, non-binding referenda related to hunting, fishing, and other conservation issues. You can call in if you have been to those meetings in the past or you're watching some of those issues this year. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to our callers now. Dave is with us in Amory. Dave, hello.
Hello. So I am concerned about, there are two questions on there, number 24 and number 25 on the Conservation Congress portion of this, that deal with removing protections, longstanding protections for ground nesting birds and actually other newborn wildlife during the months of April, May, June, and July. These have to do with removing the requirement that animals, that dogs be on an 8-foot leash, and that dogs are not allowed to run wild on state land, I believe, from April 15th to July 31st. And this is at the time when ground nesting birds are particularly vulnerable. And it's pretty well known that if a bird like a ruffed grouse, even a ruffed grouse, and other birds, if they are disturbed off their nest, chances are pretty good that they're going to abandon it. And I just don't see a reason for unnecessarily exposing these animals to more predation and nest destruction.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Paul, Dave taking us right into a couple of the questions on this year's, I don't know if it's technically called a ballot, but this year's list of questions. Is that one you've been watching?
Yes, it is. We've historically had some strong protections in place for those spring nesting birds. They are extremely vulnerable in the spring, and as are all young wildlife. And on our state lands, we've had this the rule in place that someone could have a dog out there, but it needs to be on a leash, so it can't be running wild, and you can't do training across these state lands. To see that removed would definitely be a concern. And it should be pointed out that there are other places to train dogs at that time of year. And the protections that have been in place seem to have been working. And those species, by the way, in general, are declining. So they're probably more in need of protection now than ever. So, yeah, it's a great example of a advisory question where people can weigh in on it and maybe turn the tide of something that's in the works.
Thanks for that call, Dave. We'll go to Chris now in Milwaukee. Chris, hello.
Hi. You know, I'm wondering, the Conservation Congress always struck me as a hunters group, although I understand anybody was welcome. But I'm wondering, now that it's online, do you think that more non-hunters are going to join?
Interesting, Chris. Paul, what do you think?
Well, some people over time have called it a hook and bullet club or hook and bullet group, but it's always had a extremely broad charge, and it's certainly not restricted to just hunting. Last year, more than 60,000 people joined in on the ballot. So, and I know there were people from who never buy a hunting and fishing license who took the opportunity to comment and vote on some of the issues that were related to environmental issues. So, historically, there's been less than 1% of the licensed hunters and anglers in the state who actually take part in the spring hearings. And this new online format certainly provides more opportunity for them, but also the broader public. This is for all people in the state. And in fact, you don't even need to be a citizen or a resident of Wisconsin. When you do the ballot, I haven't done this year's. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight, mm-hmm. by the way, so that it opens up. But I believe it will ask you if you're a state resident or not. And those results are tallied in a couple of different columns. But it's open to everybody. So hunter, fisher, bird watcher, environmentalist, city resident, rural resident, it's open to everybody.
Thanks a lot, Chris, for the call. We're talking about some of the advisory questions at this year's DNR and Wisconsin Conservation Congress spring hearings, virtual this time around. Paul Smith is our guest outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you planning to vote in this year's referenda with the Conservation Congress? Have you been to the meetings in person yourself? What's it like? Is there an issue you are watching closely this time around? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're getting a preview of the 2021 State Department of Natural Resources and Wisconsin Conservation Congress spring hearings. They give residents a chance to weigh in on more than 24 natural resource issues in the state, including hunting, fishing, conservation, and the environment. You can join in online beginning at 7 tonight and over the next few days. Paul Smith is with us, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about one of the questions on this year's advisory referendum list? Do you always vote on these? Have you been to some of the in-person meetings in the past? What's that like? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Becky is with us in Waterford. Becky, hi.
Hi there. Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I did go to the in-person Congress meeting about 3 years ago to speak out about the sandhill crane hunt. I'm a member of the International Crane Foundation. I'm such a big fan of that bird, and I just don't agree with that bird ever being hunted. I know Wisconsin has a rich history of hunting, and I'm married to a hunter, but I just personally think some things should be off limits. That being said, going to the meeting, I didn't know what to expect. I live in western Racine County, and the meeting was held in Union Grove at high school. And I was very well received, but the meeting was primarily farmers, hunters, and men. But I was heard, I was respected, I was listened to, I was given time on the floor to speak. So it was a positive experience. And I would definitely do it again, but I will be voting online this year.
Thanks so much for sharing your experience with that, Becky. I appreciate it. Paul, is that generally the reputation of these meetings?
I would say yes. And thanks for calling in, Becky. And, you know, we need more people like you, too, to get involved in the process. So, you know, back in the day, they used to, at these meetings, hold the votes by raising your hand and be counted. So, if you were in the minority on an issue and you raised your hand, over the years, I've been going to these since the 1980s, and I saw people's arms gradually grow shorter and shorter as they had them raised, and people were looking around the room to see who was voting and how they were voting. That changed about a decade ago, I want to say 15 years ago, and the Congress instituted paper ballots. So you would vote on them and turn them in, and you could leave, or you could stay like Becky did and comment on an issue. Always, however, the Congress and the who run the meetings have tried to have everybody be respected. And every meeting I've ever attended, that Congress delegate running a meeting called for that type of civility at the meeting. So I'm glad Becky had that experience, and thanks for sharing it. Now everybody can sit at home and vote on their computers. Hopefully one of these days we'll get back to these in-person meetings, because that is the time when you can actually meet people in your community and speak to people face-to-face, which is so important in a democracy. This year, there's no Sandhill Crane question, but I know people feel very strongly about that. And that would require legislation to change that to allow sandhill crane hunting in Wisconsin. Currently, it's not allowed. So that won't happen without, you know, activity in Madison. And I don't know of any legislation that's being, well, there is no bill at the moment to that would start a sandhill crane hunt.
Becky, thanks a lot for calling in. Sandhill cranes, not on the list. We have checked out a couple of the items. What, Paul, are some of the things that stand out to you as maybe more high-profile issues that are being asked about this time around?
Well, the DNR each year typically has a couple of proposed rules changes. So these are things that they're proposing to change. They're not just ideas to talk about or debate. They've actually got it to a point where they like to change a rule. And in the fisheries world, they'd like to change some of the walleye regulations in northern Wisconsin. Walleye is the most, you know, it's our most favorite freshwater fish. Survey after survey shows. And they're really not doing that well. It's a fish of northern waters, and the walleye here in Wisconsin is kind of at the southern end of its range. So they're not doing that well. And someone would win the Nobel Prize if they could give a clear and definitive reason for that decline. There's likely many things going into it, but nobody really knows. And so the DNR's been trying to encourage more natural reproduction by protecting the fish. And so that's what these regulations would do. There's a handful of them that they're proposing for northern Wisconsin. And basically boils down to a slot limit where fish in a certain size would have to be released. So that's a proposed rules change. In the hunting world, the DNR would like to see the season for squirrels extended by a month. So instead of ending at the last day of January, it would end at the end of February. And that probably won't generate a lot of controversy. Among the Congress questions, an advisory question would ask your opinion of if you think white deer should be allowed to be hunted. Currently, they're protected, whether it's a white or an albino deer. They're off limits right now. And whether a deer has a normal coloration of brown or one of these other more rare conditions like white or albino, they all can carry diseases. So the argument for being able to hunt white deer is really to not let those animals overpopulate an area because they've been protected. I guess the argument against it would be an ethical one, where a lot of people think that those animals stand out so much and they should be protected. Or some people just think that they're too beautiful and they'd like to see them on the landscape. So that one will probably generate some controversy. That's an advisory question asked by the Congress.
Let's go back to our callers now. Roger is with us in Deansville. Roger, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Rob. There's a couple of deals. Years ago, the Gordon McQuarrie, the writer of Milwaukee Journal, wrote an article, a story about going to the Conservation Congress meeting down in Iowa County where the doctor would hold court with a muzzle-loading squirrel gun. It was hilarious. I think it's called the Old Brown Mackinaw. Anyway, this white deer deal, it's always been illegal to shoot albinos, but we have something called a piebald deer, which is a partially white deer, and a lot of times it could be brown, and you shoot one, it's got white on its legs and white on its belly and stuff like that, and that would be legal deer to shoot. I just can't see drawing a line and trying to create a partially white deer as being illegal to hunt. Since they're an anomaly anyway, it's part of the gene pool. I think that's – anyway, that's just my comment. And,
gotcha. Roger, thanks a lot for calling in. And that I think that is part of – you mentioned white and albino deer, Paul, and I think the piebald deer issue is part of this question.
Piebald deer are legal to hunt now. So you could legally shoot a piebald deer. Yeah, the prohibition right now is on white or albino. So – if you had shot a deer that you thought was all brown and you got up to it and it had some white on it, it met that piebald definition, you would be legal, provided the season was open. We're talking on in April and there's no hunting season. Piebalds are legal at this time. So this is a white deer issue. Now, I'll just take you back quickly, but when chronic wasting disease was discovered in Wisconsin in wild deer, there was a period of time when white deer were legal to hunt, and it was done because of that disease issue. The rule was changed to say, yeah, we don't want to protect any particular deer based on its coloring because it could still be carrying that disease. But then there was some outcry and it got changed back. So the white deer have been protected now, I'm going to just say, for about the last decade. And now as we see CWD spreading in more parts of the state, there are pockets, maybe some of your listeners live in areas where they have a sizable white deer population, and they, as they keep breeding and that recessive trait is in a population, the more they breed and if they're protected, it will increase in prevalence, at least locally. So it's a good question, and this is the perfect forum for it.
Thanks a lot for that call. Just in 30 seconds or so, Paul, I think there's an advisory referendum on chronic wasting disease research. What's that one about, just briefly?
Right. It just asks if you would support a collaboration of a working group, which would have the DNR, DATCAP, which is our agriculture agency in the state, and deer farming organizations or commercial deer farmers all get together and work on it. So it's asking if that's the best way to attack this problem, which now affects wild and farm deer.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us again. We'll leave it there.
Thank you very much.
That's Paul Smith, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked to him about this year's spring hearings of the state, DNR, and the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. You can weigh in on various natural resource issues starting tonight and continuing for the next 3 days. We mentioned a few of the questions. You can see more. These are all advisory only. We've got a link to information at wpr.org/centraltime.